Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Across the Nerdverse. Again, I have to apologize, as I have been apologizing for the past few episodes about such the long time length between episodes, but I can't really help it. Life is just busy. I think for those of us who just do any type of content creation out of pure fun versus, you know, monetization or any type of career, often find that. I mean, that is making an excuse, but you know what? It's my story and I'm sticking to it. It is February. It is almost Valentine's Day. And so therefore, today's episode is going to be about love in the comic book universes. So some of those relationships that are kind of stand out in the universes, perhaps some of the love and love triangles that stand out. We'll see where we go with it. But I thought I would be apt trying to speak to love. And yeah, so let's get right into it. So the first relationship that I could honestly say is something that has been a great love across the decades for the comic book universes is Mary Jane and Peter Parker. And Mary Jane and Peter Parker were somebody that started out as Mary Jane was kind of a foil. It was like somebody who was his Aunt May was trying to set him up with in the beginning. And there was this running gag for a little while, kind of similar to Jimmy Kimmel's running out of times bit for Matt Damon on every episode. Well, this was many issues of them never getting a chance to spend time together. And then when they did, there was the classic line that Mary Jane said when they met up was, "Face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot." And it was pretty much love at first sight. And it was something that was, they balanced each other out quite nicely. So Mary Jane was an extrovert. She was kind of a party girl, fashion girl. Peter Parker, the nerdy science kid, who was very, you know, hyper fixated on being responsible and doing good for others. And Mary Jane was more so, she had a caring heart, but she was very much into Peter versus like the entire world. And they seemed to balance each other out. And then they got married in the 80s. And it was a wonderful thing because it gave Spider-Man, you know, some grounding, gave Peter Parker some grounding, gave a little bit of conflict where Spider-Man, you know, always became something that in, before that used to end marriages or end marriages and relationships for him or relationship opportunities. Whereas Mary Jane, it did, it caused friction in their marriage. However, it didn't end their marriage, at least at first. Now, I think one of the greatest injustices done was that later on, they started mucking with that great foundation that they built, making them quite stable, because the, you know, one of the either spoken or unspoken rules of the Spider-Man universe is that Peter Parker can't be happy for too long, and then they got to mess with him a bit. And so that's what they did. They had Peter Parker make a deal with the devil, which in the Marvel Universe is Mephisto. And they had them give up their entire marriage for the sake of bringing back Aunt May, which I get that Peter Parker loved Aunt May, like loved her. But to give up a whole marriage for somebody who, like, I don't believe that in the deal that Aunt May was going to live forever, it was just bringing her back. So she could literally die the next day, which would have been an interesting, you know, loophole, great horror story in some ways, but it was brought her back and the whole marriage just didn't exist, which I feel was a big mistake in so many ways. There was the whole mistake of, you know, they now, Peter had to basically had no, didn't even have like a memory of her and him being married. So it didn't cause like, it caused him to be open to romantic opportunities, but it didn't cause all this drama that it could have. So even if you had agreed with that they should have been, you know, apart, I think it would have been very much more of a drama set piece for them to actually get divorced. And then they would have had, you know, some friction. But nope. So then later on, there's some, you know, chance for romance for Peter and Mary Jane again, and a new writer, because this was a different writer that does it to them again, ends up messing with Spider-Man and Mary Jane by having them go to an alternate dimension. Spider-Man somehow leaves the dimension, then goes back for her, then discovers that while they have been apart, she's married some other guy and had kids with this other guy, and completely messes with Peter's head again. Which can happen. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it just kind of seemed arbitrary, seemed to kind of just put in there just for the sake of drama. And I don't believe that should be the case. Peter Parker had enough drama, that fine drama that played out over the decades. And for this, this is just soap opera, you know, schlock, in my opinion. So there you go. Mary Jane, Peter Parker, one of the great relationships while it lasted before some execs and some writers got their hands in it. Next one, I would say, would be Black Panther and Storm from the X-Men. Black Panther's from the Avengers. What I liked about that relationship, even though, you know, it wasn't, they both had other relationships before and since, but they had a relationship that was very grounded in commitment, respect, and duty. And those duties were the things that got in their way as being a couple. And they did not stay married, but when they got married, they were very kind of a solid power couple. And even since they've not been married, they express a lot of love and respect for one another, which is a great example for, I think, how you would want not just couples, but the ending of a relationship to go, where the two people at the end of it still have enough respect for each other that they will go out of their way to do stuff for each other. It was a very interesting mix where Black Panther and Storm each had their fellow kind of obligations get in the way of their marriage. T'Challa, obviously, with Wakanda and the Avengers, and Storm with the X-Men. And so that came up when the Avengers and the X-Men fought. And of course, the many types of situations where Black Panther was having to tend to the state affairs of Wakanda. So I liked it. It was kind of a solid grounding, showed how marriages can fall apart without soap opera kind of hijinks. Just the regular pieces where they're from two different worlds with two different obligations that overwhelm their bond to each other, but their bond is not completely destroyed. So there you go. Black Panther and Storm. I really enjoyed this next one, even though, like, I wasn't really into this comic. I guess I would say off and on I was, but Superman and Lois Lane. Lois Lane and Superman met when Superman went into the Daily Planet and began as a reporter for the Daily Planet. And Lois Lane was also a reporter, and they started off as, you know, the typical, oh, she doesn't know he's Superman. And there's a emotional bond that they have, but she's kind of into Superman, and so there's had some soap opera hijinks again for a while. But then she discovers that he's Clark Kent is Superman, and kind of what unfolds is as they get married, is that it has kind of remained a very, very bonded, grounded relationship, where it is something that I like it, because even though I'm not into always like the struggles that Superman has, they always seem quite unrealistic. He has one of the most realistic examples of a good relationship that I've ever seen in fiction. And that may not always be exciting, but it certainly helps flesh out that character and keeps his, you know, morality in place, because there's someone there to he loves and listens to, and she compliments him and he compliments her. Kind of like Mary Jane and Spider-Man did until the soap opera hijinks, as I mentioned before. And so what I love about Superman and Lois is that they take something so fantastic, a guy from another planet who develops enough powers that he can destroy the entire world, and then they give him like this person who is mighty in spirit and in character that is his equal, and they make it work. So I would read it just for that. So that's Superman and Lois Lane. I think that on a lesser note, Invincible and Adam Eve do that similar, where they both have powers, so they relate to each other and they understand each other in a way that nobody else does. And they've been through, they kind of have this, you know, typical maturation of young love that goes into more responsible superhero and parents' love, as well as just trying to be responsible for the care of a society. So that's just kind of a side note. I haven't read all of those issues, to be quite honest, but I've seen some of it online, as well as know the storyline, and I like how Invincible and Adam Eve start off as friends, become a couple, then they become even more bonded over time, as both superheroes and a superhero couple. So that is Invincible and Adam Eve. I also like Batman and Selina Kyle. Batman and Selina Kyle are these two opposite characters again. Selina Kyle is Catwoman. She is a burglar, and Batman is a vigilante dedicated to bringing down criminals. So, of course, there's plenty of room for both tragedy in terms of they can never truly be together. I mean, in the original universe, DC universe, is that they did get together, and then one of Catwoman's old cronies started blackmailing her, and then she started doing one last job to get rid of her old past, and she ends up getting killed when the Batman intervenes. And so that's the ultimate tragedy. But in the reboots that followed, they always have this immense attraction towards each other, and they are very much in love, but they are very much doomed to fail each and every time. But that love will always be there, and that definitely that chemical hot attraction is always there. So Batman and Catwoman. A couple of the triangles that I've mentioned is that they're in the same comic book that I'm going to bring up. One is Cyclops, Wolverine, and Jean Grey. And that one's been a long-standing one for decades, where Cyclops and Jean Grey are together, but there is this burning, unrequited love from Wolverine, and Jean Grey feels an attraction, but she feels an obligation and an attraction also to Scott Summers, to Cyclops. And they play it off quite well, both for the pathos of Wolverine being the one who never gets the girl and suffers. And sometimes it goes a little bit too far. It used to go a bit too far because they would just kind of almost paint him in terms of obsessive stalker. So, but, you know, he it played the triangle very nicely. He was, you know, if not committed to Jean. And he'd go off and mope, and then he'd have his own adventures. So it was a great vehicle for Wolverine's further adventures. So Wolverine, Cyclops, and Jean Grey. And the other one was Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Emma Frost. So in the later teams, I'd say, I believe around the early 2000s, there was the triangle of Jean Grey and Cyclops and Emma Frost, where at some point Emma Frost and Cyclops started having an affair. And then after they were no longer together, Jean Grey and Cyclops and Emma Frost hooked up. And it was an interesting little vibe because he's got a thing for telepaths. That's all I got to say. And there was a sort of an interesting thing where Jean Grey was sort of like this, you know, nice girl template, whereas like Emma Frost was like the bad girl template. And so he was into both types of girls, it seems like, but it was something that showed kind of Scott's, you know, narcissistic side when he had somebody who was dedicated to him like Jean and was always so upset with Wolverine, but yet he steps out on Jean. So that's one for the books, is Jean Grey, Emma Frost, and Cyclops. And my final one, just to save it, I'm going to save in a relationship that was very toxic and was not really love, but they were together and it ended horribly in all its incarnations. And that would be is Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne, and otherwise known as Yellow Jacket or Giant Man. Or, you know, that's what the two versions, I believe he was Ant-Man for a while too, but definitely Yellow Jacket and Giant Man. And Janet Van Dyne was the Wasp. And they were married. And there was a lot of violence in that marriage. And Hank was quite the abuser. And in the Ultimates version universe, he was quite more brutal, even much so. But in both incarnations, it was very toxic, very centered around domestic violence. And so I wouldn't be able to say it was a relationship built on love, but it was just a relationship. It was an example of the wrong kind of relationship. So the Wasp and Yellow Jacket. And I said that was the final one, but there's actually one more. Because this one is also in the books, in my opinion, as a negative one. Not quite as negative in a sense as physically in terms of domestic violence. But it also was very narcissistic and, in my opinion, emotionally manipulative and abusive relationship. And that would be Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman from the Fantastic Four. And in the 60s especially, when it got later, there was still a little bit of Reed being a bit of a jerk, but in the 60s, definitely in the 70s, Reed was misogynistic. He was always putting down Sue, implying she was not as smart as he was, you know, basically a helpless person in comparison to him, the almighty genius. And it was many, many years before that even began to turn itself around. And, you know, Sue went and had a thing for Namor, but it was very, very toxic, the relationship she was in with Reed. And so, again, ending off maybe on a sour and cynical note, but it's not meant to be, but I like to show a balance, is that, again, another example of the wrong kind of relationship. And there you have it. Relationships in the comics universe. I know most of them were Marvel. I don't know as much around, or I didn't have as much, you know, connection with Green Lanterns and Green Arrows and the Flash's relationships. I was always kind of into the Marvel Universe's relationships. They always seemed to me more interesting, with the exception of Superman and Batman. So I hope you enjoyed. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. And we shall see you again, hopefully at least a little bit sooner than the episodes have been coming out. Take care. Bye-bye.